You're listening to Nick Luck Daily, bringing you the latest news and the best interviews from around the world of horse racing. This episode is brought to you by the Racehorse Owners Association, by Thoroughbred Racing Commentary's Global Rankings in partnership with the Saudi Cup, and by the Fitzdares Club. Hi there, welcome to the show, bringing you the latest news and sharpest insight from around the racing world every weekday. It is Tuesday, November the 24th, and horse racing in the UK has a spring in its step, because as of next week, as of next Wednesday, when the current national COVID lockdown ends and we go back to a tiered system, a three-tiered system of restrictions, there will be up to 4,000 people allowed on racecourses in parts of England in Tier 1. In Tier 2, up to 2,000 people, no fans in Tier 3. We've had several false dawns as regards getting people back on racecourses, but it does seem as though members of the paying public will be allowed to set foot on at least some racecourses, if not all, next week. However, as with all matters relating to this pandemic, the nuances are much more intricate, as I welcome in David Yates. But Dave, let's first of all concentrate on the positive news. Fans will be back on racecourses next week.
Yeah, it's definitely good news, Nick. I think it's surprising news as well. I'd be very surprised if the football desks at newspapers and websites at lunchtime yesterday were preparing themselves for stories about crowds. And I certainly know that with regard to racing desks, they were ready to eulogise Shishkin for his chasing debut at Kempton. I don't think, again, that spectators were on the radar at all. But it's very welcome. Certainly, I think with regard to betting shops opening, that's a big boost to racing's economy. Nick Rust estimated 12.5 million quid had been lost to the levy during lockdown two. So that's very good news. With racecourse, as you say, it is more nuanced. It's not, we shouldn't be just going out popping champagne corks because race goers are back on track. It's not that simple. It all goes down to which tiers the race course is in, and the detail for that is being published on Thursday. Case detection rates in all age groups in the over 60s, whether infection rates are rising or falling, the number of positive COVID cases as a percentage of tests carried out, and the pressure on the NHS in that particular area. Those are the five points that are going to come under consideration in deciding whether we're looking at tier one, tier two, or tier three for a particular area.
And that, of course, will determine how many fans might be allowed onto the racecourse as of next Wednesday. So there are fixtures slated for next Wednesday. One of those fixtures is at Ludlow Racecourse, and I've been talking to the managing director and clerk of the course there, Simon Sherwood, to ask him whether he would be accommodating crowds for the first time since March.
Yeah, I don't think we'll be having 4,000, but it's certainly music to one's ear just to hear that a crowd of some form or other will be coming back, because it is the body and soul of racing. And although it won't be the panacea or a remedy to rectifying the situation we're in, but it would be great just to bring some atmosphere back to the racecourse.
Okay, so what are your plans as things stand? If you are still in Tier 1 and get a provisional go-ahead, what are you planning to do at the moment as regards letting people in?
We will definitely, we've got a section of the racecourse which has been mothballed, which was originally laid out for members and possibly any extra crowd as well. And so we will be able to just utilise that particular area, which has, as yet, since we've been behind closed doors, has not been used at all. Which has its separate access and so forth. So the protocols are all in place. I suspect initially it will probably be just members will be definitely be inviting back, because obviously they've had a rough time. And then it's just a question of what the take up is with them as to whether we allow a limited amount of public paying crowd as well. But we will be being very cautious, I suspect, on our first meeting back, and we certainly won't be pushing the parameters to the maximum.
So you're not going to say, right, 4,000 people can come, first come, first serve. Will it be by invitation only then?
It will be definitely through invitation, and it will obviously on the similar sort of pass system that we've been having up to now, where everyone has to, you can't just turn up and pitch up at the race course. I expect those sort of protocols will still be in place, where there is a sort of track and trace sort of system in place. So we have a limited number capacity, which SAG, Shropshire government agency, health agency, have sort of put on us, and we'll obviously have to be adhering to that social distancing and all those protocols in place.
So how many people do you think is your maximum as things stand at the moment?
I would have said, actually, in as far as members and crowd goes, you're probably only talking about sort of 400 or 500 people probably.
But as you say, that's better than where we have been, and it's a step in the right direction.
Yeah, you know, for the last two meetings, you know, it's obviously only been allowed 45 owners on site at one time. So I think we've been getting about 200, including the essential workers, you know, who are obviously the jockeys and the fence attendants. I think our crowd has been sort of something like around 350 on the whole race course any one day. So you can imagine it is, you know, yes, it's fantastic. The industry is still churning away. But you do lack a little bit of that heart and soul when, you know, like last, yes, you know, the other day we had Richard Johnson having a treble, and, you know, isn't that sort of normal cheer when he comes in on the three timer?
Okay, but if the government says that you're allowed, so obviously you just need to just get this explained. If the government says you're allowed up to 4,000 people, just explain why you as a racecourse couldn't accommodate that.
Well, over the whole area, we have a crowd capacity as to what we're allowed on the race course, and over what is safety in a sporting environment. And so 4,000 would be pushing our limits to the absolute maximum. But, you know, we have to adhere to our local health officer as to what he regards as what's safe. And B, with social distancing, which obviously social distancing still has to be a prerequisite on the race course, as to what can and can't be done. And obviously, you know, a lot of that area is in enclosed areas where obviously there has to be a lot of management involved, because I think otherwise people just think that it's a, you know, it's a free-for-all, let's go, yippee, we're off. And then there's going to be a terrible backlash. So we have to still adhere to those very strict protocols which all race courses have adhered to so far, and hence that's why, you know, racing has been one of the front runners up to now.
And just in terms of how many people might be able to come in on top of members, how many members does Ludlow have at the moment?
We have 600 members, but of which I suspect, you know, they paid from 1 year, although now we've deferred that payment to next year, so in effect, you know, we have got a hole there from, and which for us is quite a big sum what they pay for that membership. So we're anything to try and keep them on side. But of those 600, I suspect a lot of them are of an age, and a lot of them will probably be somewhat timid about coming racing at the moment. So, you know, I wouldn't have thought there'd be more than sort of 25% take up probably of that number. In which case, yes, we will, you know, obviously encourage, you know, a little bit more of a paying public to come in.
So then what will you do? You'll open up a system online where people can apply?
Yeah, it will be done mostly, for us, it will probably be mostly through telephones and through the office, I suspect, or through the website.
Simon, best of luck. It's great news that Ludlow might well be the first racecourse in the country to allow fans in by the new arrangement.
Yep, thanks a lot, Nick.
Simon Sherwood there from Ludlow Racecourse. And Dave, I think it's quite important to hear that, because it's not as though suddenly the floodgates are going to open and you can just go racing every day from next week. The government have said what you are allowed to do, or at least have provided the framework. But within that framework, there's still quite a lot of social distancing detail and protocol that has to be abided by, which then, by its very nature, will restrict numbers further at certain venues.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. We haven't suddenly just found ourselves in the land of milk and honey. It's the nature of the media that we have to use fairly broad brush headlines, you know, crowds back on track or something to that effect. But as you say, as with COVID-19, there is much more detail to be explored than that. You've mentioned the numbers up to 4,000 in tier one, up to 2,000 in tier two, but it's not that simple. There are plenty of protocols, other things to be discussed. It's not just a question of 4,000 people turning up and then the guy on the race course saying, sorry, we're full, you lot can't come in.
Just having a look at the fixture list for next week, Wednesday the 2nd of December, which would be the first day that this would be a possibility. Haydock's in the northwest, so likely to be in Tier 3, could struggle. We don't know yet because simply the government haven't announced exactly what areas are in what tiers. And that's why executives at the Jockey Club at the moment are reluctant to commit what they're going to do. They're responsible for 14 courses around the country, including Kempton, who are also slated to race on Wednesday, the 2nd of December. I live very near Kempton. I'd say likely to be in Tier 2. Lingfield Park, either Tier 1 or Tier 2. Those at ARC are giving strong indications they would like to allow crowds at Lingfield next Wednesday. And you've just heard from Simon Sherwood from Ludlow. So my best guess is that Lingfield and Ludlow certainly and possibly Kempton would be the first ones to go next Wednesday.
Yeah, I don't blame racecourse bosses one little bit for being non-committal about this, Nick. I obviously knew that I was doing the NLD this morning, and I've spent most of the morning since I got up looking at different maps about that cover infection rates of COVID-19 in the UK. And I'm not exactly sticking my neck out in saying that I think the Northwest, they will be in Tier 3 when lockdown ends. But elsewhere, it really is quite a difficult picture to predict. So, yeah, short of the Northwest being in Tier 3, I wouldn't really like to second guess what's going to happen.
I think we're just going to have to accept that there are going to be several anomalous situations. You could end up with a situation, for example, on Saturday, the 5th of December, where the big Tingle Creek meeting at Sandown could accommodate a few people, yet the fixture at Aintree might not be able to accommodate anybody.
And racecourses have got difficult decisions to make, because even if they're allowed to take fans, it may not be financially advantageous for them to do so, given the extra manpower cost relative to the amount of people they may get through the gate. For all that it could be an excellent PR exercise, it's very difficult to ask racecourses to run race meetings at a loss in this current climate.
That's a very interesting point, because for the last few weeks and months, we've all been banging the same drum, which is to let crowds back on racecourses and to the benefits that will bring to the sport. But as you say, there are certain tracks that it's not a good look if the Racing Inc., having requested the return of spectators, then certain tracks say, well, this isn't really worth our while. But of course, if you've been struggling over the last few months and that you're an independent track, why would you want to stage a fixture inflicting further losses, additional losses, just for a PR exercise? So there will be tracks, I suspect, over the next few weeks that aren't 100% enthusiastic about staging fixtures with crowds. And I think we should understand that, because they've suffered plenty over the last few months, and it's understandable if they don't want to incur further losses.
But the key headline from this podcast anyway is that Ludlow will at least accommodate some fans next week, possibly up to 600, and it's very likely that Lingfield will as well next Wednesday. Well, sadly for Newbury Racecourse, the relaxation of regulations did not come in time for their Ladbrokes Trophy meeting, which takes place this Friday and Saturday. Dave, what are you particularly looking forward to there?
Well, apart from the big race, I suppose probably Flinter Sacra, his hurdles debut at the track on Friday. It's the novice hurdle that Nicky Henderson always wins. Flinter Sacra, of course, a brother to the great sprinter Sacra. He won his second bumper impressively at Kempton last February. Obviously, he's got lots to live up to, but he looks exciting. I'll be interested to see how he gets on.
Well, you mentioned Shishkin Yeti. What did you think of him yesterday?
Well, like everybody else, I was very impressed. I mean, I hate it when pundits sit on the fence with regard to races for the future, but he is 6-4 for a race that takes place in mid-March. But yeah, we knew last year what an exciting hurdler he was. I can't really see a hole in Shishkin in what he did yesterday. Like everybody else, I thought he was very good.
I must admit, for fear of having a lot of egg on my face, I wouldn't want to lay him at much bigger than 6-4, in fairness. It's almost a get-there price for me.
When one bleats about bookmakers cutting horses to 6-4 for the Arkle in March, that's the question that you have to ask yourself. Well, would I want to lay much more than that? And in the case of what I saw yesterday, I wouldn't want to lay 7-4, 2-1 either, particularly.
Of course, the feature race is the Ladbrokes Trophy itself. That takes place on Saturday. It would be a great, great story were I right to win the race for Harriet Graham. Harriet was involved in a nasty freak accident the other day involving her own horse box running her over. But she is a nothing if not an extremely hardy soul. And she's combined roles as a clerk of the course at Musselburgh and Hamilton Racecourse. So she'll have a keen eye on the news at the moment with Scottish Regional Assemblies doing their own thing with the COVID regulations. She trains I Write. She was a director for Racetech, the picture provider as well. I've been talking to her and I've been asking her about how excited she is for the weekend and how she's been getting on after a challenging couple of weeks.
I'm recovering really well. I'm pretty slow. I'm still walking with sticks, but I'm feeling a lot better. Yes, and planning to go to Newbury, in fact.
Well, that is great news. It's very hard to keep you down because you're incredibly busy. Let's talk about I Write first of all. Was that what you expected in the Charlie Hall? It was a fantastic run behind Surname.
I think it was a very pleasant surprise, but I do rate him quite highly. He's like a... It's just like he's an absolute pleasure to train because he works hard, sleeps hard, eats, doesn't stress out about coming to the race courses. He does his work, but then he you know, he's quite happy to wander about in the field all day. And, you know, those sort of horses are great to train because they're not stressing about, they're not leaving everything at home. And, you know, we took him to Cheltenham for the RSA and that was like a big, real big deal for us, and he even made mistakes going around but didn't seem to bother him. And, you know, he's just got that. He's obviously not Surname. Surname is a different class of horse, and Gizo, you know, that is some horse. But I do think over a distance he jumps and he gallops, and, you know, hopefully that, if everything goes right, we'll be thereabouts at the finish.
Is he the best you've had?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I mean, we tend to train either homebreds or the bottom end of the market horses until Jeff Adams came and put some horses with us 2 or 3 years ago, but I think maybe more like 4 or 5 years ago. And he's invested a bit more in you know, spent a little bit more money on horses. So definitely started training a better quality of horse. We had the homebred Scotswell who was, you know, I think he went up rated 140 or something, an out and out stayer. He would have probably been our second best horse, but that was a homebred and a bit of a freak of a horse. So and retired. Yeah, I Write would be the best one we've trained.
And you double up also as a clerk of the course at Hamilton on the flat and Musselburgh jumping and flat. We've got news coming through today that there could be crowds in England as early as sort of the end of next week. What do you know what the situation might be in Scotland?
Honestly, I don't know, because obviously this is breaking news. I had just discussed it with Bill Farnsworth about, you know, the potential for crowds, and he just said to me, we don't know what Nicola will think. We just don't know what Nicola will do, and she's a rule unto herself. And I know that Scottish Racing will be lobbying them very hard that we should be allowed back. And when you think about it, wide open spaces, lots of, you know, we wouldn't be at capacity. Nobody's saying that we're at capacity. So, yeah, why not? Brilliant, bring it on. But let's just see what happens in the next couple of days, because it's ever-changing, isn't it?
Now, Harriet, I first knew you when you were directing for Racetech, the company that provides pictures to the racing TV channels. You're a trainer of some distinction. You've been clerk of the course at just about every racecourse in Scotland, as far as I can make out. Which discipline has given you the most satisfaction?
Oh, training winners, of course. Yeah, training winners. But I'm also very realistic. That's probably not going to pay bills and And probably for me, having a small yard with some very good staff, which I have, you know, Marjorie Rennett runs the place. She's very quiet. She knows horses like you wouldn't believe, and, you know, just gets on and does it. And my husband, who does the paperwork, it's probably very good for me to go and clerk at Hamilton and Musselburgh, as it, you know, really and do enjoy that.
And what?
And it pays some bills.
And aside from paying a few bills, what would victory in the Ladbrokes Trophy at Newbury mean to you all? Try and give me some sort of context, particularly in light of the fact you've had a pretty wretched couple of weeks personally.
I think we'd be slightly overexcited. I am known to shout rather loudly. And I think the whole yard and the Scottish Borders and the locals around here who are good enough to let us ride across their land and stuff, they would just be, you know, and also a horse coming from Scotland or the north of England, we keep getting told up here, you know, oh, it's the racing's not good in the north, and, you know, it's under stress, which I don't believe, actually. I think it's very, very healthy up here. I think the trainers up here are brilliant. We, you know, they're working with probably less expensive horses and with lesser budgets. I think they do an incredible job. But, you know, it'd be absolutely fantastic. But I'm not getting ahead of myself. I'm a real realist. I've worked clerking often enough to see the hot favourite fall at the first often enough, or something stupid happen. Somebody doesn't weigh in or something like that. So let's not get too overexcited. And we're still not there. You know, he could have a poison foot tomorrow and we'd be thinking, oh, can't run him till after Christmas. We would feel very frustrated and down then.
Well, I can only keep my fingers crossed for you, Harriet. Thanks so much for talking to me.
Thanks, Nick. Cheers. Bye. Bye.
So you heard there from Harriet Graham. She's an amazing woman and it would be a wonderful story for the sport. And I think for the north of England and Scotland particularly, if she were to come down and plunder the big prize.
Yeah, it would be a great story. I mean, the things that Harriet Graham does, it's a miracle that she finds time to train the horses at all, and she does so very effectively. I mean, I'm somebody who's constantly bleating about how the big prizes end up with the established yards week after week, winter, summer, spring and fall. So for Harriet Graham to win the Ladbrokes Trophy, once known as the Hennessy, that would be a fantastic result for the sport.
Now, turning our attention to the United States, and there was an announcement made yesterday that a new turf course would be constructed at Churchill Downs, home, of course, of the Kentucky Derby, possibly reflecting the growing popularity of turf racing in the United States. The turf course is going to be designed by STRI Group, who most recently dropped in the brand new and much acclaimed turf track in Saudi Arabia, and also worked on the new track at Ascot back in 2006, and are responsible for much of the work at Leopardstown as well. Darren Rogers from Churchill Downs joins me now. Darren, what prompted the thinking behind this? Why does Churchill Downs need a new turf course?
Well, Nick, currently our turf course is the same turf course that was put in 1985 when turf racing debuted beneath the Twin Spires. It's a 35-year-old track. To put it frankly and compare it to an iPhone, we're essentially working off of an iPhone 2.0. We need an iPhone 12. And so we've partnered with, STRI Group. We've been looking at this for the last few years. Quite frankly, our turf course in the fall has not responded favorably to the Kentucky climate in recent years. It's been very loose. I think of the Breeders' Cup of 2018, where you saw the great stretch run between Enable and Magical. They raced down the middle of the crown. That's because that was the going was best in the middle of the course that time of the year. So the time has come. We're going to invest $10 million to install a new turf course. It'll also widen the running surface from 80 feet to 85 feet that allow us an additional lane of racing where we can provide multiple rail movement options from 0 to 36 feet out and up to 14 participants per turf race. So with the new course, which includes a state-of-the-art irrigation and drainage system, we think it's much overdue.
Is there a significantly greater demand for this than perhaps there would have been 3, 4, 5 years ago? Is there a growing population of good turf horses in not just Kentucky, but North America?
Well, obviously, turf racing, yes, I have seen that growth, and I think there is a demand, and especially there's a demand, you know, from horse players. If you talk to any racing office within North America, I think any racing secretary would unequivocally say that turf races are easier to fill than the dirt races. You typically will get fuller fields. There's great betting opportunities on us. This will allow us to offer more turf racing at Churchill Downs. Typically, I would say 25% of the 700 races we stage annually at Churchill are scheduled for the turf. That could raise it to possibly a third.
And you mentioned that Breeders' Cup of 2018 and Enable and Magical. We've had some wonderful Breeders' Cups at Churchill Downs. Is this part of the thinking as well, that you want this racecourse to become even more attractive to Breeders' Cups in future years?
Absolutely. I mean, when you know, the challenges that we have seen, Nick, the last 4 or 5 years of the course not necessarily responding to the climate, what we've seen is that the roots have not taken hold beneath the surface. So with this new turf course, we're going to, you know, strip it down. We will redesign the subsurface. Included with that, you know, we're going to remove the crown. The crown, by the way, runs down the center. It's to facilitate drainage on either side, but it limits the number of lanes. Instead, we're going to use more of the full width and a banking system. And that way you can use more of the course. I think, yes, absolutely, it's going to be a better turf course. It's going to be more durable. I think it's going to be more favorable to horsemen.
Darren Rogers there from Churchill Downs. Now it's that time of the week when, in partnership with Weatherby's and its Global Stallion app, we head around the bloodstock world. We don't have too far to venture today, to Dorset to be precise, and a new stallion enterprise. Not one, but five new studs in the southwest of England. Those horses, Southern Hills, Master Carpenter, Legends of War, Diplomat, and Tip to Win, all standing at affordable prices. You can catch up on all of them on the Global Stallions app. And this venture is in part the brainchild of Luke Gedge Gibson, who joins me now. Luke, I salute your bravery and your enterprise. Thanks so much for joining us. Tell me what inspired you to enter into this new venture.
Well, I think we stood Master Carpenter last season under a different banner, and we really enjoyed it. We've always looked to stand stallions ourselves, and it's something that we very much like to do, and we like to bring young stock into the world and hopefully nurture them to become fine racehorses. So this year, when my partner in LM Stallions, Matt Huntington, he sort of approached me and said that he was also interested in sort of having a delve into the stallion world. We kind of put our heads together, and this is the result of it.
So you go about building a roster of stallions, not just one or two, but five stallions. What are you thinking? Are you trying to get variety within?
Absolutely. I think we wanted to offer breeders a chance to use anything from a 5 furlong, you know, listed winner at Royal Ascot to a 2 mile hurdle winner from France, who won over sort of various distances, and won over hurdles as well. So
people will remember many of your stallions for different reasons. Master Carpenter, hugely tough horse that the Millmans did brilliantly with. Tip to Win won loads of money in Doha and was then runner-up in the 2000 Guineas. Legends of War, beautiful pedigree from the Scat Daddy sire line. Diplomat, as you say, a more dual-purpose horse. And Southern Hills, a 5 furlong Royal Ascot 2-year-old winner. Who do you think is your team leader, if you like? Who are you pinning the greatest commercial hopes on?
I think that's a very tough one, to be honest. I think they all offer very, very different attributes. Southern Hill is a fine looking horse. He's an imposing individual, and he was very fast. He has a, you know, very nice walk about him, and he's well made up. And then Legends of War, of course, he is a son of Scat Daddy, as you said, and he's a grade winner in the US, and he was a very highly rated juvenile over here in the UK when he was with John Gosden. So I think, you know, Legends of War offers something, you know, that was very different for this season.
Is it quite a daunting prospect?
I think it's more exciting than daunting, to be honest. We've been received very well. We've had some great support from a lot of people, and everyone seems to be in admiration of what we're trying to achieve, you know. So which like I said we're offering a diverse range to suit every breeder, and we want to work with breeders, so we you know, we're happy to have a conversation and see what we can make work for everyone, you know.
And you're based in Dorset. Just tell me a little bit about the stud, March Hare Stud.
Yeah, so we're based in Dorset. We're on a farm that is 235 acres, so we have ample grazing to facilitate you know, young stock and mares. We have some great facilities. We have all weather gallops and different things. So we also do some pre-training on the side as well. And it's an amazing place. I mean, the grass here is second to none, and every horse in season has done great on it.
So my thanks to Luke Gedge Gibson and to Darren Rogers from Churchill Downs, Harriet Graham, and earlier on Simon Sherwood with that important news about Ludlow next week. Yatesy, I'd love to be at Ludlow next week, but before then, we need to find a few winners to bolster our coffers.
Yeah, 6:30 at Wolverhampton. It's Dahir, number six. Winner for Owen Burrows over the extended 9 furlongs at Dunstall Park. Then moved to Mark Loughnane, did the same. Attempts the hat-trick here. Goes up to 1.5 miles. Doesn't have an obvious middle-distance pedigree, but I think his run style should bring that trip within range. So 6:30 at Wolverhampton, number six, Dahir.
So on a day when we can afford to be at least cautiously upbeat, I say thank you to David Yates. I say thank you for listening. Please do join us again, same time, same place tomorrow. But for the moment, that was Tuesday, November the 24th. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Nick Luck Daily, brought to you in association with Fitzdares, the Racehorse Owners Association, and Thoroughbred Racing Commentary.